This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
A tweet from Jimmy Johnson that may rock the world.
Oh, my God. We got to get right to it.
Especially DFW. It is a tweet that you have to absolutely hear from Jimmy Johnson. Also, we'll have some audio from my sweet daughter, Lucy, in just a little bit that you guys might love as well. Somebody tweeted to Jimmy Johnson, if you were going to hire a coach for a team, let's just hypothetically say a team in Dallas, what would you look for in a head coach? And Jimmy Johnson tweeted back, smart, passionate, hardworking, and then in all caps, leader, with an exclamation point.
I like it. Let's hire that person.
877-881-1053 if you think this current head coach has those qualities. Then he quote tweeted himself, Kevin.
Always a bold move.
After appearing maybe about 2 minutes of pondering what he had just done, like I think he just realized that he had put the nail in the coffin for Jason Garrett by tweeting that out. And then he added, the Dallas job is not open, and Jason may pull it out.
Oh, no.
Insinuating that he thinks Jason Garrett can do just enough to keep his job with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, and maybe they'll have the success necessary. I got in the debate. If you go to 105.3thefan.com, you can see the video podcast that I did with Pat Doney yesterday from NBC5. I love working with the NBC5 people. And Kevin, he asked me if getting to the NFC Championship game was enough, and I said no, and he about lost his mind. And I know you've felt the same way. For me, it's Super Bowl at this point. I don't know exactly what he's built, but what I've seen is a back-and-forth kind of team that's very just even keel, but nothing passionate. If you see passion over the next four games, that might be that opportunity. But, man, you got to deliver. You got to deliver in the playoffs, and the Cowboys have not shown a propensity to deliver whenever it's a one game against one team. My coach is better than your coach.
Let's say that they just got to the division round and he got brought back. Do you think, 95% of the DFW would be like, and that would be their whole, like, really?
Yeah. But you know what? Because it's not a change. It's not something that's just like, hey, we got to go do better than that. It is something that just says, hey, we're good enough, and we're going to keep trying to grow with Jason Garrett because they would be frightened that they wouldn't be able to find another coach that would put them in at least this close, winning the division consistently, going to the playoffs back-to-back years, Kevin. That's been the big thing is that you can't get to the playoffs for back-to-back
years. It's been 11 seasons since we made it in back-to-back years. So while everyone is like, oh, you're going to lose in the wild card round, I mean, probably I would be inclined to agree with that. I don't think you beat either Seattle or San Francisco. Making the playoffs in back-to-back years is a huge deal. It hasn't happened here in 11 years. Does that mean I want to keep Garrett around? No, but I'm rooting for my team above the job security of the coach.
From the 432, no! And from the 817, Jason Garrett has leadership skills as much as Cowboys have wins against their teams over 500 this year. Oh, man.
And that's why I think, you get to the division round again and you lose, then everyone's like, ugh, I don't want him back. I think if you made it to the Super Bowl, like you said, or the conference championship, like I said, you know, that's something that, you know, Chan Gailey couldn't do that. Dave Campo couldn't do that. Bill Parcells couldn't do that. Wade Phillips couldn't do that. Let's face it, you're on coach number 5, I believe, since the last time you made it that far, and I think there's something to be said for that. So if you make it to the conference championship game, I think he saves his job. I really do.
All right, Kevin. Well, I got a list of 7 potential candidates to take Ron Rivera's job over. Do any of these coordinators or head coaches draw the interest of you for replacing Jason Garrett? Here's number 7 on this list. This is from USA Today, by the way, Kevin. That's your favorite.
Man, so many infographics.
Brian DeBole, Bills offensive coordinator.
Dude, I'm telling you, I don't think that like necessarily the Bills offense has been great, but the work he's done with Josh Allen is pretty darn impressive.
Any coordinator on a winning team right now is going to get looks.
I would imagine their defensive coordinator would be getting a lot of looks as well.
But I think any coordinator that has a winning team, especially if they turn something around, is going to get a look for head coaching. That's my problem, though, is how do you know if a coordinator is built for that next step? Or, or if they're going to be like, you know what, I want to do this. I want to call the offense. And now you have a whole new different thing. But, man, he's done a really good job with Josh Allen. His track record as a coordinator is spotty, though, at best.
I imagine I would say
his teams have never finished higher than 18th in total offense.
Oh, yikes. All right, now I'm out.
But okay.
I would also argue for the coordinator. How much of it do you think will depend on that interview process as well? Like, you go in there and you're like, here's what I have to say. I'm going to tell you all the things. And you can see if they really have a vision for your specific franchise. Or it's just like, well, you know, I want everybody to work hard. And you're like, awesome.
Yeah, working hard is important, Kevin.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator, number 6, Robert Saleh.
Yeah, no, I get that. Everyone has been enamored with Shanahan and the job that he's done, and I certainly understand that. But that defense is awesome. That defense is filled with hosses, too, though.
They got 4 first-round picks on their defensive line. So, like, that's helpful, right?
I know it is, but, like, look at the change in the Dallas Cowboys offensive line when we switched offensive line coaches. I'm not going to dismiss coaching because they've got all the horses.
I'll say his defenses were the worst in the league before 2019. Like, he has the talent now, and they weren't that great. What did he figure out? What changed? Yeah. And I don't know if it was his culture, but I mean, just look at that guy, Kevin. Like, look at that.
He looks like a tough football coach.
That is a man's man right
there.
He
also looks like somebody that would give boring press conferences. Because you know our fans are like, that's what I
care about. He looks like he would punch through the podium. Like, that is a man's man, Kevin. Number 5, Greg Roman, Ravens offensive coordinator. Completely redid the Ravens offense to cater to Lamar Jackson.
And I would be in on Greg Roman. And I'll tell you, I know people are going to go, yeah, but he has Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is special. Yes. Lamar Jackson is special now. Lamar Jackson was special in college, but somewhere along the way, there was a disconnect. He was the last pick of the first round, I do believe, the 5th quarterback taken in that draft because people didn't think he was special or didn't think his game would translate in a special way. The way that they have retrofit their offense, or I guess future fit their offense around him, is something I desperately want us to do here, is build around the players you have, not the system you want.
Do you think he would build around Cam Newton in the same way that Lamar Jackson is, or do you think, like, for the Panthers, or do you think he would, or would he try to do the same thing with the Cowboys?
I think he would build around Jalen Hurts.
Interesting.
I'm telling you, like, they're in a position, Carolina, where they would probably be able to pick up Jalen Hurts, and I think he would build around him.
Number 4, Kevin Stefanski from the Vikings offense.
No.
I mean, he's done a really good job making them one of the most efficient offenses, even with Kirk Cousins.
Has he done an efficient job, in your mind, of making Kirk Cousins look less terrible?
Less terrible is a good word. Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy. Now, here's my question. This is an offensive coordinator in a job where the head coach calls the offense. So, like, what is he really doing?
I'm not as enamored with him because I think Pat Mahomes made more sense from a traditional quarterback standpoint as opposed to the Ravens offensive coordinator who had to change things up. Here you're like, Pat Mahomes, throw ball far, and we get fast people to catch.
Well, he does a lot of other stuff, too.
I know, I'm out on that.
All right, Josh McDaniels, who I'm out on completely.
He's a flake, man.
Yeah.
I'll take the job, never mind.
Was it 11-17 with the Broncos? His offense was the worst with the St. Louis Rams.
And Belichick coordinators have been disasters in the NFL.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Plus, he bailed on that Indianapolis job, man.
I don't want him.
And then last but not least, number 1 for the Panthers job, Lincoln Riley. Now, he's been linked to the Cowboys a lot.
As has McDaniels.
Would he be a great replacement for Ron Rivera or Jason Garrett?
Look, I think Lincoln Riley here makes all the sense in the world. You want to feel like potentially now you have a schematic advantage, especially offensively. Bring me Lincoln Riley. And, you know, he's done things with quarterbacks the last couple of years, and he's been able to churn out Heisman Trophy winners and candidates now with Hurts. I'm fine. And don't forget, man, people are like, oh, Jalen Hurts was good at Alabama. People dumped on Jalen Hurts' ability to be anything more than a game manager all the time in Alabama, and he's really opened it up at OU.
He did what he was asked.
I'd be all about Lincoln Riley.
All right, gentlemen, and somebody said you're overlooking Mike Leach. I know that. I mean, he just signed a big deal with Washington State for $4 million a year. I'm sure the Cowboys could grab him if they wanted to, but I think he's going to stick around there. All right, here we go. I'm going to start with Roy. All right. Now, this is audio that a lot of people are concerned about.
What is this audio?
Okay, so Roy White this morning or yesterday morning did a bit with his wife. They had their kid. They call him Raleigh Bear, and they're always talking about him and Bear. Well, his wife, he told his wife as the joke. They've been doing this all year long. Hey, we can't call him Bear anymore until the Cowboys beat the Bears or until the Cowboys against the Bears are over. And so this is what it sounded like, Kevin.
Not allowed to call him Bear. I'm putting my foot down. I'm the man of the house.
No, you don't put your foot down. What are you talking about? You're the man of the house. What are you talking about? You're the man of the house.
I'm the man of the house.
You're not the man. Okay, you
and
are the man.
I am putting my foot down.
Okay, I understand.
You will not call him Bear.
He is my child. I birthed him. He will be called Bear.
We need a win.
So that is Roy White saying we need a win for this team. We're not calling him Bear. So that's what he's sacrificing, Kevin.
We need a win.
I know we always ask, what are you sacrificing for your win? What are you doing to irritate that special Bears fan in your life right now? Well, Kevin, my
that sounded intense.
In my house, yeah, it did. In my house, my wife has a bunch of stuffed bears that are Godiva chocolate bears that she gets every year. And so I went home and I was like, "Look, we got to get rid of those." But I also went to my daughter's room and she has this big pink stuffed bear. And I went to Lucy and I said, "Lucy, we got to have a talk. I got to test your fandom of the Cowboys." And this is what she had to say.
Hey, Lucy.
What?
You see this teddy bear?
Mm-hmm.
See this teddy bear right here?
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep this teddy bear in the house anymore, okay?
Why?
We gotta throw this teddy bear away.
Why?
Well, because it's a bear, and the Cowboys are playing the Bears this week. So we gotta kick all the bears out of our house. What do you think about that?
I'm gonna miss my little bear.
You're gonna what?
I'm gonna miss that bear.
Well, that's kinda tough. Bears don't belong in this house this week. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Listen, I love you very much, but if it's you or the bear, it's going to be the bear every time, okay?
But it's special to me.
It's a special bear to you? Well, it can be special outside for the next couple days. Is that okay? Are you shaking your head yes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lucy, guess what? That makes me so proud of you because you're an awesome Cowboys fan. You would never give up on the Cowboys, would you? But you can tell the bear to get out of here, right? Say, suck it, bear.
I'm really over the lid.
Why are you hugging the bear so hard?
I don't want to give away.
Okay, well, guess what? You just make sure that you be a good Cowboys fan, all right? Just for the next couple days. And then the bear can come back in the house. But for the next couple days, we're Cowboys fans. Say, I'm a Cowboys fan.
I'm a Cowboys.
No, say it louder. I'm a Cowboys fan.
I'm a Cowboys fan.
That's what I'm talking about, Luce. Now let's see if your mom's the same way.
She said, it's special to me, and I just love it so much. Man, I'm going to play that whenever I need something to cry about.
I also loved how she said she was a Cowboys fan because there was this moment of, like, all of us feel that way, right? Whenever we're talking about the Cowboys this year, I'm a Cowboys fan. That's how it feels sometimes.
You'd be a good Cowboys fan, all right?
What about one of your other kids came in and saved the day with a pun? I feel like. Can we play that audio? That is the one bit I did get to hear ahead of time.
Here's me throwing all the other teddy bears out in the backyard, and here's Carter standing with me.
All right, dude. So this one's got to go, and this one's got to go, and this one's got to go.
This is unbearable.
And this one's got to go, and this one's got to go.
Said this is unbearable.
That kid is always on message. There's a reason that Carter is the leader of the Major's children. He's always on point with his puns and everything. Cowboys Bears kickoff 7:20 tonight, 4 o'clock pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are the KNC Masterpiece, and coming up next, why don't we go directly to our pre and post game host, Ari Temkin. We'll talk with him on game day, and we're live from the Shark Club in Plano right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, let's go ahead and talk with our pre- and post-game show host. You'll hear him tonight. By the way, around 5:16, you will have, about 5:15, you'll have Troy Aikman on with Brad Sham during the pre-game show tonight. So you'll want to stick around for that for sure. And it's just going to be an electric feel this evening. I'm looking forward to it. Cowboys against the Bears. Cowboys are on the road. Let's talk with Ari Temkin right now. Ari, how's it going today, man?
Corey, that was hilarious, dude. I just hope you didn't traumatize your young daughter. Although, I guess if you did, it's okay if it's for a joke. I
mean, she was laughing by the end.
Yeah, well, here's what I figure.
She was crying a little bit.
Well, no, she laughed more later.
That was me.
Actually, later she started crying whenever I started telling my wife I had to throw all the stuff out, and I was like, I can't do this one. I gotta reboot here. She was just sad face. It was less crying and more sad face. I will say this, though, Ari. Maybe if it scars her and she doesn't become a Cowboys fan, she'll have less pain in her life. You know, maybe that's possible.
Oh, man. So that's fair.
Well, I mean, look, if there's any more scarring of a child for a franchise, it's the Chicago Bears. So, you know, it's at least it's not. It could always be worse. It could be the Browns or the Bears or, you know, a lot of other franchises that haven't had the level of success the Cowboys have had, even if it's not recent. But, yeah, for sure.
So when it comes to the Bears, we've talked a lot about like what the Cowboys have done and what they don't do, and I feel like we haven't talked as much about the Bears as previous opponents. What offensively can the Bears do? Because I get defensively, but what offensively can the Bears do that could be problematic matchup-wise for the Cowboys?
So it's kind of funny because the last two wins for both of these teams have been against the Lions and Giants. The Bears have won two straight against those two teams. The Cowboys have sprinkled those wins with some losses in there. And so, like, the idea here is, well, the Bears are playing much better than they've been playing, and they come in as the better team here, at least playing better football than the Cowboys do, and it's like, is it that, or is it that they've just played the Lions and the Giants and not the Bills and the Patriots? So Trubisky's looked good in these last two games, again, against the Lions and Giants, and he's, you know, thrown for over 300 yards in those two games. But, you know, guys, I think it actually works in the Cowboys' favor that Trubisky in this game is in Chicago, even though it's cold weather and that's not traditionally where the Cowboys play well. But Bears fans have turned against Trubisky. And so they've booed and booed a lot and have a history of booing very readily. And they've, I think, like, just mentally gotten into the head of Mitch Trubisky this year. We've heard, you know, in around the, you know, the facility had to turn TVs off and radios because there was just all this noise about how bad he was. And he was really bad. And so I think, like, the idea here is if the Cowboys defensively get some stops early on in this game, the crowd will really take their own quarterback out of it, which is very much in play. And look, I think year two with Trubisky under Nagy, year three overall, it's just not been what anybody expected. And the biggest difference between the Bears this year and last year beyond Trubisky is this is a defense that was dominant. They turned teams over and they scored a ton of points on defense. And that's just not something that tends to sort of even out or continue year over year. It tends to even out year over year. And so that's, you know, the Bears aren't scoring as many points because their defense was like prolific scoring last year, which is obviously something that's not going to, you can't count on that 2 years in a row.
Ari Temkin, pre- and post-game show. He'll be on with Broadus tonight as well as the entire cast on the pre-game and post-game show. They'll go until 1 o'clock in the morning on this Thursday night football action against the Bears. The run game, the run defense for the Cowboys has been a huge question mark,
yeah.
Kevin. What is the run offense for the Bears going to be like, and is it going to expose the Cowboys, or can the Cowboys limit it?
Well, that's a great question, and I think if Matt Nagy has done his homework, which I would imagine he would see this is a game to feature David Montgomery, who's the rookie out of Iowa State for the Bears. You know, they didn't have a first-round pick. They traded, or they didn't have a second-round pick because of the Khalil Mack trade, and then they traded up into the third round to get Montgomery, and he has been slow out of the gates, and I don't think it's him. I think it's more of the offense and Trubisky, and it's just everything worked for Trubisky in the offense last year, and it's like the opposite this year where everything hasn't worked. Montgomery on the year hasn't been featured very often, but He's at like 3.5 yards a carry, 594 yards total, 5 rushing touchdowns. You know, this is a game that he should get going, and he's certainly playing better of late. But, yeah, and the other piece of this, too, is the mobile quarterback aspect of Trubisky. And one of the big differences between Trubisky this year and last year was they were running him a ton. And, you know, that's probably a good strategy in this game. Should have been a good strategy for the Bears all season, but they've really limited him running. You know, last year they simplified everything for him. They would roll him out to one side, cut the field in half, and now all of a sudden he's not having to survey and read the whole field. It was as if this year he ran the ball a lot. It was as if this year they were like, all right, now we're going to give you the full complement of offense, which for a guy that it was well documented had 14 starts at North Carolina, it's just not a good recipe for success. And so I think, if Nagy's done his homework, Montgomery and Trubisky should be huge factors against the Cowboys in the run game. Because of how athletic Trubisky has been in his career.
When you've been talking with Broaddus about this, what's been the biggest problem with the Cowboys' run game? Has it been their linebackers, or has it been their guys up front?
Yeah, I would say certainly their linebackers. And just how, you know, you guys think about last year where, you know, they could play nickel as a base and survive pretty well against the run with Vander Esch and Jalen Smith basically stopping everything. And that was just such an advantage defensively for them to be able to play an extra corner and, you know, leave yourself the ability to stop the pass, but then also stop the run pretty effectively. That hasn't worked this year. Subsequently had to use, you know, more three linebacker situations, especially obviously now with the injury to Leighton Vander Esch, that's muddled things even worse. Jalen Smith, maybe he topped out last year in terms of, you know, his ceiling. I think certainly this year would indicate that, and maybe there's other factors at play. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but it's been a bad year for Jalen Smith. And yeah, I would say the major difference between the Cowboys defense this year and last year is their ability to play nickel and survive pretty well against the run, whereas this year they just haven't gotten the same production out of their linebackers.
This might sound like kind of an odd question, but
I'm looking forward to this.
You will.
How have you traumatized your children?
Oh, I can give you a whole bunch of lists. One time I stepped on my kid by accident.
All right, dude, listen.
So how important do you think this game is? And the reason why I ask that is I can absolutely see a narrative in which the Cowboys lose this game and then they say tomorrow, well, we're still in first place and everything is still in front of us, and we get a repeat of all the messages we've heard this week. So from that perspective, how important do you think this game really is?
So, I mean, important for the ceiling on this team. And look, the Bears are a good team. They're clearly not a playoff team, especially in their division. It's funny, the Football Outsiders playoff predictor has the Bears' chances of winning the wild card at 3.1%. The Cowboys have a 77% chance to win this division. This game is not important, period. However, show you can beat a good team on the road. Like, show, they're not an over 500 team, but they're certainly better than the majority of the 6 wins. In fact, the Bears are the best. If they won, they'd be the best win they've had all year for the Cowboys, and it's not a horrible win. It just shows you the kind of strength and confidence we have in this team to win a playoff game. So the Cowboys are, I mean, unless something crazy happens, they're going to win the division. So this game's not that important, but I think it's important in terms of, okay, is this team capable of winning playoff games? If they lose again here in this game, then I just think that answer becomes even more clear, no.
And if they win, given the track record of what you've seen against all the other actual playoff teams, do you think this team is capable of winning playoff games?
I mean, everything else says no, but the Cowboys are really good in the one area that it takes to be good to win in the NFL, which is in a passing offense.
Oh, sorry.
So, like, that's if they had the same record with the same situation last year with last year's team, I'd say no chance. You're not going to win in the modern NFL in the playoffs with a good defense and running downhill. A passing offense gives you a better offense, more conducive to winning in the playoffs. But, I mean, let's be honest. We haven't seen much from this coach that would indicate that he has the ability to scheme and then not only plan, but then scheme during the game a playoff victory.
Kevin, how often do you have a team in first place that has their backs against the wall, especially with 4 games left in the season?
It feels like a unique situation because I feel like all sides are right with what they're saying. Like, us, the fans who are like, I don't think this team is any good. That's fair. They're 6-6 and haven't really beat any good teams this year, except if you count the Eagles, which I don't know about that. Right. But then on the flip side, the Cowboys are all like, we're in first place in the division. We're still probably going to make the playoffs, and everything we want as a goal is in front of us, which is also true. It's a maddening clash of different ideals.
Kevin, my favorite question of the day so far is a question I have posed, obviously. And so I'm looking forward to hearing Ari's thoughts on this one. Ari Temkin, by the way, pre- and post-game show host. Tonight you'll hear him with Brian Broaddus.
And Aikman.
Oh, and Aikman, man. So which special teams makes the first miscue or the most costly miscue?
Like of the Bears-Cowboys special teams
yes.
units? The Cowboys? Yes. The Bears have a decent special teams unit. I think they're like top 10 in special teams.
That could have been your answer to any Cowboys game this year.
You be a good Cowboys fan, all right?
I mean, holy cow. And look, some of it, you know, like you can put the place kicking on the kicker and on the coach. I mean, like it's just crazy to me that you didn't think that in the offseason that this was a bigger problem. Like it, you just can't be in this position with this guy who's like kicking at 67% right now. Good for like 27th in the National Football League of guys that have played in 11 games. Like that's horrendous. And you can't, like, you can't complain about that and be like, oh, no, now we've got to try out all these bad kickers. We've got nobody that's better than him. When you had all offseason to think about this and to bring in somebody else to compete with him. He was bad last year. He's worse this year. This is the bed the Cowboys have made, and it should make their coach more aggressive. In terms of just, you know, like it's just crazy how Bill Belichick just takes your weakness and completely and utterly exploits it. And that's exactly... He doesn't have a good offense, but he still wins games because he looks at the Cowboys and says, they have a really bad special teams unit. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to attack them. I'm going to block a punt early in the game. That's going to give me an easy 7 points. And then I'm going to play this field position game all game when I'm scoring. Every time I kick off, I'm going to kick short, and they're not going to know how to adjust, and I'm going to get great field position all game. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it's just crazy how easy sometimes Belichick can make coaches winning games look and how obvious it is to see that the Cowboys don't have a coach capable of getting wins like that.
Great stuff, Ari. What do we have lined up for the pregame show this evening? What are we looking for, man?
I don't know if you guys have heard, but Troy Aikman is coming on the program at 5:15. And he has said some pretty explosive things this week, so that should be fun.
Whatever happens down the road.
We'll also talk with Jeff Joniak, play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bears, and the great Brian Broaddus. I mean, how awesome is Broaddus having him on the pregame show? He is great. He's amazing. He's one of the best, and we are so happy to have him on with us on the official station of the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you so much, Ari. Always a pleasure when we get to talk with
you. You guys, I always loved being on with you and listening to you guys in the evenings, but it is so cool to get in my car in the middle of the day and hear you guys in middays. You're killing it. Keep doing it.
Thanks, man.
Let's go.
Do it again.
And if you want to hang out with us, we'll be at the Shark Club. And then tonight, the Dallas Cowboys watching party, along with the Stars at the Shark Club.
I think it's a football game watching party.
No, I am not going to say that. I just wanted to throw one more quick thing out for you. Did you see the thing that's happening at USC right now? It's really funny. So
did they keep their coach?
Yes. But did you see what happened?
Todd Helton?
No, Clay Helton.
Okay.
So there was a lot of discussion that they were going to get rid of him. And then rumor came out that they went ahead and they were going to retain him. Though some people are still disputing that that decision has been made. But word is that they're going to keep Clay Helton. At the exact same time, the USC athletic donation site went down. Now, that is also the site that you can change your donations or lower your donations. So some people's conspiracy theory is that once they heard they were going to keep Helton, people were going to sign in and lower their donation or take it away altogether. They're like, oh, the website's broke. We can't do anything about that.
Oh, man.
And I just think that's a genius piece of business right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with the G-Bag Nation short show for them on a Cowboys game day. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.